A61. Number 30, A.
Well, we want to spend this morning with the assignment for next year. I like to do it a bit slowly and take enough time so that the students should be very clear about what they should work on, because it would be a pity if one would work for a whole year in a line that is not what we are driving at. So I would really love to see that you ask me every time something is not very clear, 100% clear, because if it is not very clear, you may be devoting time and energy in the wrong direction during the year. We have not really finished our syllabus work, which we have foreseen for this week, and that doesn't matter. The main thing is that we feel that we could lay some kind of sure foundation in regard to the synonymous terms. So a few of the very important questions that we have not yet touched upon, and therefore we can do that next year. In order to build our consciousness in an ordered way, I think we should somehow start where we have been working this week and where we left it off, so as not to make a jump and have a gap between what we were thinking this week and what is to follow. Therefore, I have tried to verbalize the assignment for next year, and I'm going to read it out point by point and see that if you receive this, you will receive this in writing, so that you have it in writing. You don't really have to write it down now, but so that when you receive it in writing, that you actually know what it means, because I have heard that the last syllabus was written in a way that the students who read it didn't know what we were talking about, which I don't know why, but apparently that was the case. The syllabus that we have been doing today or this week, and which is on this yellow paper that you had received, remember, we said, let's call it the study syllabus Roman 1. I think you wrote it down when we started this week, because we refer back to this as a syllabus study number 1, so that you know what it means. So the next one will be called syllabus study number 2, Roman 2. And so I read what we thought we would read. This syllabus builds on the study syllabus Roman 1. So you would know to what we refer, would you?
Yes.
Yes. I ask you because I was surprised to see, you know, what cannot be understood. So this syllabus builds on the study syllabus Roman 1, which had as its main purpose to define from the Christian Science textbook the meaning of the seven synonymous term for God. Actually, that is what we have been doing this week. To define the synonymous term. I like you to not forget that, because we are not really discussing the operation of the synonymous terms. We are only defining what the term means, so that in the discussion with other people you are aware that we were, so to say, limiting our study just to one aspect, to the definition of the terms. Because when we come to the operational sense of the synonymous terms, then naturally we will have to read the textbook differently. We will also have to use different methods of interpretation because the aim is different. And I just hope that I still can see the day with gray hair when I can teach the synonymous term in its operational sense as a matrix from the textbook. I hope I still see that day, but sometimes I think I don't. All right. So, in order to culture, but I'm going to write about it and put it away in the drawer, so that when the time comes, the Institute can publish it, maybe the year 2000 or something like that. So it is not going to be lost anyway. In order, we say here, in order to culture the tonality of these synonyms, the tonality, that's what we have been trying to culture, the following assignment is proposed. One. Now I read you one. Actually, this one is the culturing of what we have been doing this week. Now, is it understandable when we put it this way? Do you know what the assignment will be? One. In the syllabus class, Roman 1, we have compiled a list of ideas characterizing each of the seven synonymous terms for God. Heavy, mm-hmm. Heavy. We know what it means. Please tell when you don't are 100% sure. All right. In order to culture the tonality of each synonymous term, as defined through their ideas, read all sentences in the textbook where the synonymous term occurs. So the assignment is now to read all the references on each synonymous term in the textbook. The assignment was that you should do that with at least 150, and perhaps it was a hard work because you were not yet trained into the tonality of the synonyms. Now, with the tonality of the synonym, it should be possible now to read just from one statement, from one reference of mind to the next reference of mind. You know where you can find all the references? You can find all the references at the end of the compendium or in John Dolly's The Pure Science of Christian Science. There they are also. So that you read from one statement of mind, naturally you will have to see, is that statement enough, or do you have to read a sentence before? That you naturally have now to value. But if you come to such a statement as spirit senses are without pain, that you think something is not quite all right, and then therefore you have to read one or two sentences before in order to see that this is a combination. But what we want you to see is just to have a textbook and just to sit back and just to go from one sentence to the next and read it and hear the tone of mind and what it expresses. And go to the next and to the next and to the next. I come back to it, to the technicality of it. I will come back. Leave out those sentences where one synonym appears in combination with one or more synonyms, like life, truth, love. That's what we already did for this year's work. Leave out the combinations of the synonyms, not of the combination of ideas with synonyms. You know what I mean? when the synonym is, when Mr. Seti says, what did we have? When mind or life, huh? When spirit or principle, when she said the principle love, when she said life, truth and love. Leave out those combinations at the beginning because they are more difficult. They do not really culture the tonality of one synonymous term. So skip those. Take one synonym at a time. Is that clear too? So don't treat the synonyms. First a sentence about mind, and then comes a sentence about love, and then comes a sentence about principle. So don't read through the textbook and just look where does a synonymous term appear and read it that way. In order to culture just mind, you have to stick to the tone of mind for a while. So take one synonym at a time. Read fluently from one reference to the next, so as to build up in consciousness the tone of that synonym. Don't concentrate so much, on what the sentence itself explains. Is that clear? Don't ask so much what the sentence itself metaphysically means, the meaning of the statement. Read it just, you see, it's still further narrowed down, just read it so as to feel, what is mind? What is mind? What is mind? What is mind? And get it through the tonality of the statement of what mind says there. Not so much to see the deep implication of the metaphysical meaning of one of the big statements of Mrs. Eddy, like this. That's something else. All we want to do is that we come back after a year with a very cultured sense of terms, of the term mind, spirit, soul. So don't be sidetracked by the meaning of the sentence or of the paragraph. If you are attracted to it, that's all right. You can study that for yourself. That's all right. But as a method of training oneself in the spiritual hearing of the synonymous term, it is good just to flow from one sentence to the next and only hear what mind is, what mind does there, what is the office of mind, how is mind characterized. So don't concentrate so much on what the sentence itself explains, but much more on hearing the characteristic idea of the synonym. In the course of a year, read several times all the references to one synonym. Don't just do it once and leave it. I think no master is being born by doing something just once. It is, as in every other art, it's really practice, exercise, doing it over and over and over that makes a master. So that finally, in doing this with a spiritual attention, with a spiritual hearing, this synonymous term becomes subjective to us. They become us. They are no more a word out there about which we think. As long as we have to think about the synonymous term, we haven't quite got it. But little by little you will feel that they sink in and become us and become natural to us, and that we just read them and have no difficulty whatever to hear the tone, because it has become our subjective attitude. So, say, if you do that a few times a year with all the seven, it helps in culturing that tone. This would be assignment point one. It is nothing new than what we have been doing now. Now, the technicality of doing it. Naturally, many people have their own ways of how to have a fluent line of reading these references. They are spread out all over the textbook, and therefore to find always a new reference can take time and going through the text and looking out the pages and so on, and your thought is diverted. And that's a pity. One should find somehow a kind of a method, technical method, that the thought can flow easily and is not interrupted. There are various ways of doing it. Some take a textbook and mark it with a color, each synonymous term with a color, so that when they go through it, they just can look up out for the color. If a synonymous term is underlined, say a red, they just can... What do you say when you go through, when you to page it? Leap through, huh? You just leap through and your eye falls on red, huh? Then you stop and read, huh? And you leap, you go further and you go on red. That's one way of doing it. Another way, naturally, is if you have, say, 7 textbooks. One on mind, one on spirit, one on soul, and the publishing house will be very grateful to you for that. But you also can go to a second-hand bookstore, and there you get the textbooks very cheap. We always buy up all the textbooks in the second-hand bookshop. You get them for a dollar or half a dollar, and they are usually not used, so they are quite good. And you can take, for each synonymous term, a textbook, mark the synonymous term by underlining it with a color or so, and then it's easier because it's not marked with 7 colors, just marked with 1, and it's easier to run through. I help in that work by putting at the margin of a statement the page number of the next statement. If the next statement is not on the same page or on the next page, I write the number of the page where the next synonymous term appears. I write there, say, 34, and then I don't have to run through 20 empty pages until I finally come to the next one. Especially with synonymous terms like soul, where we have few references, or life, because mostly life is in connection with truth and love or so, in combination, but for us, we only want to see really the pure tone of a synonymous term. It may sometimes take 30, 40 pages until we come to the next reference. So instead of every time you go through to fiddle around with 40 pages, you know the next reference is there and there. So that's another way of how one can do it. Then there is still another way, which you may know about it or not yet, and that is that Helen Wright, who is sitting here, she has done the following thing. She has cut out from a textbook the references on mind and has pasted the references on mind one after the other so that she can now read, so to say, these references just very fluently in a consecutive way. She doesn't not even have to go from one page to the next few pages, just read through. Now, she is very willing to... now, Helen, you are willing to put that at the disposition of the students who want to make a photocopy, want to make a Xerox copy. She can't do the copies herself and send them from Seattle. You wouldn't like to do that, huh? You would prefer
to... My actress, have offered to to do it for anyone who would like to have it done. Francis will do it.
Francis Dillinghurst, you would be willing to copy them for those who would like to do them. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you know of this possibility, and I think, as I have calculated them, you have about 500 pages for all the seven synonymous terms.
500 or 600
pages, so you can calculate a Xerox copy of a page is, I don't know how much, it varies very much from one way of copying to the next, but still you can calculate. Yeah. It's about this size, huh?
Mine has 127 pages.
Just for mine.
Just for mine. And it's only the paragraph that contains mine.
Yeah.
Each paragraph that contains mine is pasted in.
Yeah. So you think about that. You know where you can have more information about it, if that is the way you would like to do it. Yeah. All right. This would be assignment one. You know, we have been doing that in Europe, and it's quite a good mean. You know, after a while, once you know the synonymous term a little bit, the ideas, and you just sit back and read, say, for an hour or for an hour and a half consecutively without stopping, without really having to think what is implied metaphysically in a sense. Just read it and just listen with your spiritual ear, and in an hour and a half you can do quite a lot of these statements. You can certainly go through, I would say, a third of mind or half of mind, because you just have to read, and finally you get into a habit just to listen to that very short passage where mind appears. And it cultures in this way the tonality in one's consciousness. Or at least it helps to strengthen first one's tonality by reading, so that you have an authority that teaches us, that teaches me. Because we want to make other exercises where we really have to see that we can, in a creative way, culture these tones. Is there anything to ask about assignment one? I don't say do it so many times. I leave it to each one. Some have more time, some have less time, some have quietude, some don't have so much quietude. So it's left to each one. I give it as a possibility, as a help. And you can do that whenever you like during the year. You see, it is not something that you should do, say, for a month or 2 months just to do that. But it's something that you can do, say, next month once, and perhaps after 3 months and a second time, and perhaps after 7 months a third time or so. So intertwined in your other studies, because there are a few other points that will be studied. Just do that, you know, it's a refresher, a strengthener that can be used. Point two would be what we also did this week, namely to see how the ideas of one synonymous term blend with the other ideas of the same synonymous term, so as to see that these ideas are not isolated concepts, but that these ideas flow into each other and demand, so to say, each other. So I have stated it the following way, and you listen, you don't need to write, we give it to you in writing, but I would like to see that the way I have tried to state it is understandable. I said, take the list of ideas characterizing a synonymous term. You have the list we have been going through. Take a list of ideas of one synonymous term. And ponder for yourself. Now it's yourself, it's no more the textbook that is needed. And ponder for yourself why the various ideas under one synonym constitute a single tone. That is, now explain it so that I'm sure. Can you see, for instance, that the ideas characterizing the synonym, one synonym, are closely related in meaning? For example, ideas characterizing mind are, and we had creator, cause, power, action, manifestation, etc. Now the question. Can you spiritually see that we cannot have a creator without being also the cause, and the cause, in order to be that cause, must also have manifesting power, and that manifesting power implies also that there is action? Do you know the assignment? Huh? This would be an instance in mind, huh? To take those ideas, instead of saying, these are the ideas of mind, you ask, why are these ideas interlocked? Why do these ideas appear under the same synonymous term? Therefore, it means that these ideas must have a very close relationship with each other, that the meaning of a term demands the meaning of the other terms. Yes? We did that, huh? This exercise should be done with all the ideas characterizing a synonymous term, not only just always creator, action, power, manifestation, huh? But to go right on through the whole list. But it should be done with all the ideas characterizing a synonymous term. Do this exercise with every one of the seven synonyms, not just with mind, do it with spirit, with soul, with prince, with life, truth, and love. Is that clear? It means that you need a very nice, comfortable armchair, and that you can sit back and really ponder. You don't have to use very much your eyes to look up ideas, to look up what is on the list. All it needs is actually to sit back and say, now, can I flow? Can I flow within one synonymous term, from one idea to the other idea, so that it is meaningful, and not just rattling down terms? So that you can ponder for yourself. Now you see how you get away from the text slowly, though you still have your ideas, but these ideas you have found from the text, and now it is, you begin to feel the spiritual meaning of it by going through these ideas and see how they interlock. And do that as often as you have a few minutes left.